Downing Street. Number 10 has been the home of British Prime Ministers since 1732. George II offered the house to Sir Robert Walpole at that time, and it has remained in the family since. Trafalgar Square. The square, Nelson's Column stretching 185 feet into the sky, Landseer's lions feeding the pigeons jumping in the fountains, are all part of the British way of life. Trafalgar Square, London's most famous, was laid out in 1829 to 1841 to commemorate Nelson's victory at the Battle of the same name in 1805. Dominating the square on a column that is 185 feet high is a 17-foot high statue of Nelson himself. Around the sides are the Church of St. Martin in the Fields and the National Gallery, which houses one of the world's richest collections of paintings. Piccadilly Circus. Piccadilly Circus is London's hub. Five major roads converge here. Most of the theatres are within a few hundred yards of it. At night, the huge advertising hoardings are lit up, advertising brands like McDonald's, Samsung, Foster's and Coca-Cola. At the centre of the area is the statue of Eros, which was unveiled in 1893. It was intended by its sculptor, Sir Albert Gilbert, to be the angel of Christian charity, but Eros has persisted as the name. Whitehall. The broad highway of Whitehall, leading from Trafalgar Square to Westminster, is flanked by many large government buildings. Its name perpetuates the former Palace of Whitehall, which stood here until the 18th century. The Palace of Whitehall was the principal centre of court life in Tudor and Stuart times. Marble Arch. Designed by Nash in 1828, it was originally intended as the entrance to Buckingham Palace. The monarchy never managed to push their garden gates out that far. The Strand. The Strand is the thoroughfare that links the city to Westminster. It contains the Victorian Gothic Law Courts, St. Clement's Dane Church and Somerset House. Other places of interest. Greenwich Village. Greenwich lies to the east of London. It offers many attractions in 200 acres, 80 hectares, of riverside parkland, as well as fine views of the lower River Thames. It was the focus for Britain's millennium celebrations. The Old Royal Observatory has recently been moved from its 0° longitude site, though you can still stand astride the prime meridian in Greenwich. The National Maritime Museum, which has one of the world's biggest collection of boats and navigational equipment, is located in Greenwich. The 1869 sailing ship, the Cutty Sark, stands in a dry dock. Madame Tussauds. Madame Tussauds is a national institution, and though much has changed over the years, some of the old favourites are still there. From the late 18th century on, the figures became more and more convincing. Excellent likenesses include the young Queen Victoria, Picasso, Mrs. Thatcher, Joan Collins, and many more. The Chamber of Horrors has also been enlivened by the addition of audiovisual effects. Every few minutes there are noisy executions by firing squad and the electric chair. There are more static dispatchings via the gallows, the garrote and the guillotine around. George Joseph Smith's Bride in the Bath blows bubbles through the bathwater, and in a highly realistic alley in Victorian Whitechapel lies a victim of Jack the Ripper. The finest attraction of the museum these days is the very end of the tour. The visitors, sitting in the cab, can enjoy the adventurous ride through 10 centuries of London's history. Theatres. There are many theatres in Great Britain today. London alone has over 100, including about 40 in its famous West End area. The National Theatre is situated on the south bank of the Thames. The National Theatre is really three theatres, the Cottesloe, the Littleton and the Olivier. The Olivier is the biggest of the three theatres, with seats for over 1,500 people. The National Theatre has its own group of actors, called the National Theatre Company. Another major theatre in London is the Barbican Complex. In fact, the Barbican has two stages. One stage is used for larger scale performances. The other, called the Pit, is used mainly for new plays. The Barbican also has a big concert hall that attracts many famous musicians and conductors from around the world. On the south bank of the River Thames also stands the Globe, a faithful reconstruction of Shakespeare's original theatre. It was closed by the Puritans in 1642 and pulled down 2 years later. The new theatre, the Globe, was a long-standing dream of American actor Sam Wanamaker, who died in 1993 just after serious building of the theatre began. The Globe, which was opened in summer 1998, accommodates over 1,500 people. It presents Shakespeare's plays as they were meant to be presented: costumed actors, no scenery, and the unique proximity between performers and audiences. Actors experience the physical excitements of an audience clustered above and around them. The half-covered theatre contains a stage thrust into its centre and surrounded on three sides by standing spectators, called groundlings. Beyond, three tiers of seating encircles the players and spectators. Natural light, speech and music fill the theatre. The two main places to see opera are the Colosseum and the Royal Opera House. Both of them also present performances of ballet, which can also be seen in other large cities in England. The Royal Albert Hall. A site in South Kensington was purchased and preliminary plans were drawn up, but the project was shelved temporarily. Following the Prince's death in 1861, though, the project was revived and culminated in the laying of the foundation stone by Queen Victoria in 1868. The Hall of Arts and Sciences was opened in 1870, with the words Royal Albert appended to it at the request of the Queen. The oval-shaped building with its distinctive 135-foot-high central dome was designed by H.Y. Darricot Scott. An annual rent of 1 shilling is still paid each year on the 25th of March. Pop music. Rock concerts are usually very well attended. Many are held at Wembley, where thousands of people fill the arena for a popular group. Many people listen to the radio to hear the latest pop sounds. The longest running pop music show on television is BBC One's Top of the Pops. It is presented by two radio disc jockeys and has been broadcast since the early 1960s. The most well-known of all English pop groups is still the Beatles, who first became famous during the 1960s. They became immortal with their songs like Yesterday, Help, Hey Jude, or Let It Be, Let It Be. Let it be, let it be.